Giorgio, what's going on Malta with the structure there, the archaeological structure?
Well, Malta is a little tiny Mediterranean island, and it's about 130 kilometers away from the island, the Italian island of Sicily, and it's tiny. It's wonderful. It's a great little place that you can go and visit. But Malta has a few mysteries on there that so far have remained kind of unanswered, because not only do we have the Hypogeum there, which is this massive underground structure that has been carved out of the bedrock that is completely without meaning. Nobody knows why it was built. Some guy living above it actually fell through a hole into this place. But then also, there on Malta, we have something that's referred to as the cart ruts. And cart ruts, they kind of look like train tracks, but they're not really. I mean, they're these tracks that have been carved into the rock. And they're these parallel tracks that are that can be found throughout the entire island. And what's really fascinating is the fact that some of these cart ruts, these tracks, actually lead into the Mediterranean, into the water. And nobody really knows what was it for, because people have suggested that maybe, you know, ancient carts or chariots have been pulled around, or that this was like an ancient train system for, you know, chariots or carts that were essentially following those tracks around the island. However, that can't be true, because the wheels, some of the curves, some of the turns of these cart ruts are extremely tight. And so even with small wheels, you'd be very hard-pressed for this to work. So you can just go in, and for the audience, they can Google cart ruts, C-U-R-T-R-U-T-S, and Malta, and you'll find hundreds of pictures of online. Really fascinating stuff. But most importantly, I am really intrigued by those tracks that go into the water, because number one, why would you do that? And number two, how is it done? Because, you know, in my opinion, and of course also in your opinion, our history goes back way further than what mainstream archaeology tries to tell us. And that means that if it goes back further, that all around the world, though, sea levels were much, much lower than they are today. So in that case, it would be logical for those tracks to run into the water today, because at the time this stuff was not built underwater.
What's the latest discovery at the Ollantay Tambo in Peru?
Well, Ollantay Tambo is another incredible site that I have a great affinity for, and it's right in the area of Cusco. And what we find there is an ancient pre-Incan site that today seems as if, back in the day, the site was just abandoned overnight, because you have quarries there where pieces of rock are essentially still in the face of the rock, not completely freed. So it's as if, you know, a big, you know, team of workers was plugging away there, and then something happened where everything was just abandoned overnight. And we have, by the way, we have multiple examples like this all around the world, including Easter Island, Egypt, where you can see these quarries where work, it looks like as if work stopped overnight. And I wonder, well, what the heck happened for these things to get abandoned like this? And at Ollantay Tambo, there's one example, and anyone can go there. It's a wonderful tourist site. It's magnificent. The natural landscapes are, I mean, it's paradise. It's absolutely amazing. But go to the back entrance of Ollantay Tambo, and what you find there is this rock wall where a rectangular block has been cut out of the rock face in such a way that I describe it in my lecture as a physical impossibility, because imagine cutting or releasing a rectangular block from a rock face. So what you do basically is you have four cuts to the one up to the through the top, the bottom, the left, and the right, the outline of the rectangle. And then the question is, well, how do you release it? Because you can't really move a blade behind there in order to free the rock from that rock face. But there, right next to where that hole is in the wall, they have that slab. And it just sits there. Somebody put it there as a, you know, a future nut for us to crack, because somebody really had a great sense of humor, because that slab has no loss of material on any of its sides, and it fits perfectly like a piece of a puzzle into that hole, that rectangular hole in the rock face. And I challenge anyone to come up with an engineer with a feasible solution, because I've talked about this for many times now, and especially at my lectures, I ask, you know, if anybody has a solution, tell me. And someone told me one thing that was very interesting, but I've had real life engineers come up to me shaking their heads
constantly. They're baffled.
Yes, and you know, and I'm sorry, George. No, I'm not really sorry, but the thing is, who am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to, you know, bless the professors, they're doing wonderful work, bless the archaeologists, they're doing amazing work, they're out in the field, they're sweating. But at the same time, who am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to a real-life stone cutter or an engineer, a construction engineer, who looks at these pictures and says, you know, I'm in the field every single day doing construction, and I have no solution? Or am I going to listen to the mainstream archaeologists who say that that particular feat was accomplished with chicken bones? I mean, the answer, I think, is clear.